Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us tonight on Episode 7, Season 5 of The Standoff with Brad and Richie here on New Zealand Sport Radio. We're here live every Wednesday on Facebook, YouTube, throughout the season. Evening, Richie. Well, another week, another Warriors win, which made for a pretty enjoyable weekend. How are you, and what did you think of the round?
I'm really good, thanks, Brad. I'm, as you can see, different background. I'm in Napier for work, so... I'm doing well. I obviously really enjoyed the Warriors game. That's the most comprehensive we've been all year, and always great when that happens. So how are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. It was a nice weekend after that win, so very happy with how the week went. A couple of upsets which didn't help my picks, but yes. It is what it is at the moment with how we've been going. But while we're here live on Wednesday at 8 p.m., you can also catch our show at your convenience via the podcast on iHeartRadio or Spotify. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. As always, we're going to cover everything you need to know in the week that was Rugby League, including our top stories of the week, a review of the Round 5 matches. We'll then stop and answer some questions from you guys as well as questions we've had for each other. We'll then preview Round 6 and discuss who we're picking, before ending the night with a quick recap of Super League. So remember to send us comments and questions throughout the show. I see Simon's here. Evening, Simon. And we may as well jump straight into the top stories of the week.
Yep, sounds good.
First one was Balmain legend Keith Barnes passed away. Was an NRL Hall of Famer, Kangaroos captain, played 194 matches for Balmain between 1955 and 1968. You're a bit older than me, so you probably got to see a few of those games, but I thought, my grandfather was a Balmain fan, so I thought it was important to kind of mention it in passing. Sad for the family. He had a big innings, so, and from what I've seen and read, you know, he was a fantastic player of his time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not that old, Brad. Thanks for coming up swinging this week. But, obviously a bit before my time, but it's sad news. So, yep, thoughts and condolences to the his family and the Balmain fraternity.
Yeah, so we'll move on to, probably, unfortunately, more somber news than that. Rabbitohs. Their dramas have continued. They are the new team to be picked on by the pundits now that the Tigers are competent. After their embarrassing loss to the Warriors, the word's out there that Jason Demetrio is basically gone unless he turns this team around immediately. The higher-ups apparently already think that's not possible. They're already rumored at looking at Craig Bellamy and Wayne Bennett as their coaching options for next year. And in the news today, it was already announced that they're looking at bringing Mal Meninga in as interim coach for the remainder of this year. What's your take on all of that? Unfortunately, all three of us, if he gets sacked in the next couple of weeks, all three of us are wrong, because yep. We were stupid, said no coaches would be sacked. And Paul went with Serraldo from the Doggies, but it definitely looks like Jason is going to be gone.
Yeah, well, I don't ever expect many of my picks to be correct, but I don't see the first two of those replacement options as being realistic, Bellamy and Bennett, and Meninga, I don't know. Obviously interim, bit of a stopgap, a bit of filler, but for me, it doesn't look like they're playing for Demetrio. So what do you do? Persist with that and hope it gets better, but nothing seems to be changing at the moment. I also heard Ben Hornby's another option, possibly.
Yeah. I believe he's an assistant there already, so I think it would be like a Warriors Stacey Jones situation. I think Bennett is a slight chance if they can talk him into it. Bellamy will never. I don't think Bellamy will ever coach a non-Storm team ever. You know, could be proven wrong if money talks, but he doesn't seem to be a guy that would do it. There's been noise. I didn't have it in our news, but I'll throw it in now. There's been noise that Bennett is pretty close to potentially being the Eels' new coach if they decide to get rid of Arthur. So I don't know. It seems to be a bit of a mess there at the moment. I saw a comment earlier from Simon saying the Rabbits are starting to get an early 2000s vibe with them not playing well. It kind of feels that way. I don't know. And I would have had Jason on my chopping block if I thought the Rabbits were going to be as poor. I kind of expected a bounce back this year, but it isn't to be. It's going to be interesting. We may have official news next week on if he's gone or if it's just every week, just a weekly catch-up going, is he there, is he not? It's not good for them. One less team to stop us from winning a premiership, though. Take it that way. So we'll move on. The NRL have announced that they're not going to honour Michael Jennings this week in his 300th match. But the Roosters will celebrate it in-house. Kind of want to throw it in there to get your opinion on what you think about that.
I can understand, you know, he's obviously been rubbed out of the game for something that's pretty frowned upon. He's not the first. He won't be the last. But, I don't know, Brad. What do you think? I think the Roosters celebrating in-house is probably, you know, that's all right.
I can see both sides, but I think if you give him permission to come back and play, you should still honour the fact he's hitting 300. If you're not happy with that, with him celebrating it, why let him back? You had the chance to not let him sign. It's a bit mixed messages. I know there's a lot of stuff that he's done, so I can get some of the point of view, but I think it's still a milestone that not a lot of people get. So it would have been nice to see something, but they're doing it in-house, and I guess that will have to do for him. I just wanted to see if I could stitch you up, but it didn't work.
How many of those 300 are due to a little bit of extra longevity that he may have True. Received from certain substances? Yeah, I don't know. It's a grey area one.
Yeah. So we'll move on to my favourite team, the Dragons. Believe it or not, they are looking at extending Ben Hunt's current deal. So they wasted all of our season last year. Actually, we were talking every week about the Hunt trying to get out. He's going to be a Bronco. He's going to be a Titan. He's going to go anywhere that's in Queensland. Now it sounds like he's going to stick around. What's your take on that? I think it's great for the Dragons. I think he's a key figure in their team. But, it's a real, real swift 180.
It's essential for the Dragons, but clearly he just needed a new coach.
Yeah.
Wasn't liking life under the old coach, and he seems a lot happier now, which is good.
Yeah. So I'm sure we'll get confirmation in the next few weeks on if that actually happens. But we'll move on. Warriors have sold out another home game, making it 8 in a row if you include the last two home games of last season and the two preseason games.
It's just what we do.
Yeah. It's kind of becoming the norm at the moment. I guess you got to see if they go into a rough patch, will that crowd still show up or not? We've been privileged enough to go to games where there's no one there when the teams have been going really bad. So it's great to be able to go and sit in a sold out crowd, which I'll get to do again this weekend because I'll be at the game. But yeah, fantastic news for them. Seems that a lot of things are working for them both on and off the pitch right now. So congrats to that. Anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I just want to get along and witness it, Brad. I just earned another couple of days in lieu by working over Easter. So, yeah, I'll have to find it, pick out a game and take a long weekend, I think, sometime this year.
You have to discuss it with me on my schedule on if I can give you a ticket or not. We'll discuss it off camera.
We will, yeah.
But, yeah, next bit of news. The NRL will not admit that Tolutau scored off a knock-on in his game in the weekend, but the ref in charge of that match has been demoted to touch judge duties. The NRL have come out and said that it isn't due to anything that happened in the game. It's just part of the regular rotation. He has not been a touch judge for quite some time, though, so it kind of feels that way. What do you think? First of all, was it a knock-on? And two, do you think it's fair that he's been demoted?
Take the demotion thing out of it, because maybe that's just a bit of media spin, and it is part of.
Of course, it's media spin, but that's what we're here for.
I'll look at the incident. The way I look at it is, how would I feel if that happened when they were playing the Warriors? And I in all honesty, I'd be filthy. It looked like a knock on. That just looks like a knock on, doesn't it? To me, it does.
It does. I think it went back, so I think it's fine. Because I'm looking at it the other way. If that was the Warriors that scored that. I can see both sides, though.
I'd be happy enough if that was called a knock-on if the Warriors scored that.
Yeah, I'd just say I think it went back, but I wouldn't be surprised if 9 times out of 10 that's called a knock-on in any other game as well. So... it's a tough one, but yeah, it's crazy that if there was a demotion, that was the call when you've seen so many bad calls this year already.
Don't give it to the media spin, Brad.
I want to. I've seen a comment already from Hammer about Schuster, so I'll bring it up now. Manly have given Josh Schuster permission to leave the club immediately if he can find another club. Not a rumour that's been confirmed by Anthony Seibold. We questioned his extension last year when they announced it, and it shows we were kind of right. We said we didn't really see a spot for him now that they'd signed Luke Brooks, and he didn't want to be a forward. He's had every illness and injury under the sun this year already. So he's on a lot of coin. Hammer said that the Rabbits should sign him. I think I said in our chat earlier today that the Dragons would probably grab him because the Dragons like picking up all the strays. But, yeah, he's on a big wad of cash, and I don't know how many people, one, would want to pay even any of that, because you'd imagine Manly are going to have to pay a big chunk of that, and two, what teams actually need him, you know, a second rower that thinks he's a half that gets injured for most of the year isn't a very attractive target.
Yeah, I mean, as long as he doesn't wind up with us, I'm not too fast.
I don't think he would. If there's one thing we're not lacking, it's second row.
All five.
And we've got more than enough halves. I might get in a bit of strife here, Richie, but I'd say I feel like he's the Latrell Mitchell of the forwards. Like, very talented player that just doesn't seem to really want to play. Yeah, I don't know. Flame me in the comments, I'm sure, for that. But
what did Rob in our group chat liken him to earlier? Filetti Mateo, but just a bit of a softer, less consistent version.
Yeah, and Jacko said Dez at the Titans may take him. Yeah, potentially, especially, to be honest, yeah, especially with Big Tino out. They do need another, like, forward in there to help Fifita. potentially that could be a landing spot for him. But yeah, I'm not sure. I really don't know. It will be something we keep an eye on for if and when something happens to Little Latrell. But we'll let you guys know when we know. So we'll move on to signings. Only four extensions, really. The Storm extended Nick Meaney until the end of 26. Mitch Kenny's extended with the Panthers till the end of 27. Matt Tomoko's extended with the Raiders till the end of 26. And then today it was announced that Lindsay Collins is extended with the Roosters until 28. I think all of those are, you know, no-brainers. They're all players that you wouldn't want to lose if that was your team. Yeah. So,
yeah. All great retentions.
Definitely. Now we'll move on to injuries. As I told Paul before you jumped on and before we went live, I've got 12 injuries on here, and that's still not every injury because there were so many. I feel like we could spend an hour just talking about the Bulldogs-Roosters game.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just quickly go through them all, and then we can discuss them as a group so we're not here all night annoying Paul. So Zach Labatt from the Cowboys tore his ACL. He is gone for the season. Bunty Afoa from the Warriors did his hamstring. They reckon 6 to 8 weeks. Lachlan Ilias from the Rabbits fractured his tibia. No word yet, but a lengthy period. I think it's going to be probably similar to what we saw with Luke Metcalf. Dean Mariner from the Broncos has a transverse process back fracture. And he is back in round 9, so not that long. Jordan Rapana from the Raiders has a meniscus tear, 6 to 8 weeks. To his credit or his stupidity, he went back out and played. But yeah, he's out for 6 to 8 weeks. Corey Horsburgh from the Raiders, also out for 6 to 8 weeks with a groin injury. Herbie Farmworth from the Dolphins, 4 weeks with a shoulder injury. And then we've got the HIA stand downs. So Roosters, James Tedesco and Sam Walker, out this week. Bulldogs, Blake Tough, out this week. And then Tigers, John Bateman and Sam Fainu, out this week. There are a lot there, and there's a lot more, but I couldn't get them all down to fit into my little page. So I thought these were the biggest ones in terms of affecting a team. What's your take out of all of those?
You're just throwing an enormous list at me, and what's my take?
That's what I do here.
A lot of carnage this year. A lot of tip altering injuries potentially, but yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to give you my thoughts on all of those. It's just a lot of carnage.
Well, fair enough. And yeah, Mark Roberts said Paul doesn't like to be faffing around still. Then he takes it. That is correct. So we'll go. And Paul said they don't want to miss Ruin Hammer. Yeah, we've been cutting it fine. I've been missing the intros to Ruin Hammer every week so far. And I see a question from Ken that's actually coming right into this segment, so it's perfect timing. But we'll go with the ones we know of officially. Naughty Boy Corner, Latrell Mitchell from the Rabbits got 3 weeks for a grade 2 dangerous contact. Dolphin Kurt Donohue got a grade 2 careless high tackle, 2 weeks. Brewster's Dominic Young got a grade 3 careless high tackle and got 2 weeks. And then Freddie Lussick from the Warriors got sent straight to judiciary after charging down a kick from Lachlan Ilias, which resulted in a fractured tibia for the halfback. They're saying it could be a 6 to 8 week suspension. I haven't seen an official announcement on what's happened with him. I kept checking today. I assume that you have for judiciary. It's different for New South Wales Cup than the NRL. But, yeah, New South Wales Cup hasn't shown me anything that I could see officially. But, what's your take? We'll do the first three first. I think they're all fair. I think Latrell's probably lucky to only get 3 since they only cited him for the grade 3 and not the tip tackle. The other two I think was fine. I think Dom Young, I think it was a bit harsh for a send-off. I think maybe a 10 and then this punishment. He sent Blake Taff into a graphic.
He knocked him out, Brad.
He knocked him out. Yeah, that's true. But I think you could say could have been a penalty against Blake Tough for a headbutt. You know, but yeah, no, I think they're all fine. And then Freddie Lissek, I actually think it's rubbish.
Yeah.
I think it was a freak accident. I know we've talked, I know Paul's jumped in before about the duty of care and that, but if you watch the footage, it was a charge down, and unfortunately Lachlan decided to kick him. It was real unfortunate. Wasn't any intent at all to injure. It was all going for the ball. No going, like, going too high in a tackle or anything.
Game on the line. What's he going to do? Let them kick it out? We needed a charge down in that moment to have any chance of winning. He's gone for a charge down.
I think this is all due to the fact, unfortunately, there was, a leg break.
It's due to the outcome, but 6 to 8 weeks is extremely heavy-handed. That's what Latrell Mitchell should have got, because they've called his grade 2 dangerous contact. It was striking. He just flat out elbowed him in the face. And then he's gone to the tip tackle, which, to be fair, the tip tackle, he didn't really drive him in. He's kind of, you know, it's all who's landed softly enough. But
I mentioned it in our chat during the game, but after those two things, when Jackson Ford scored his try, Latrell hit him high as he went over the try line as well. But that didn't get marked. I think Mark Roberts has said, are we moving into era of charging the significance of the injury rather than the actual event itself? I think we kind of are with that Freddie one. I think if Lachlan didn't get hurt, there wouldn't nothing would have happened. It was due to the fact that he got hurt, unfortunately. And because we didn't see anything for, what's his name, Frizzell, when Luke Metcalf's leg got broken. There was no intent in that either, but he broke his leg in a tackle. He's just making a tackle. Freddie was just making a charge down. So
yeah, if Freddie doesn't go for that charge down in that situation, he's not doing his job.
Yeah, so I think it's harsh, and we'll get some news. We'll probably talk about it a bit more next week when we've actually got an announcement. But that's all the news we had. We're rushing through this, Matt. So we might as well jump straight into round 5.
I totally wanted to see get Catch Ruin Hammer show this week.
Yeah. We'll probably go long in the games, looking at the notes we've got. Kicking off on Thursday with the Storm defeating the Broncos 34-32.
Yeah, great game. 6 tries to 5 for the Storm. Eli Katoa grabbed 2. Xavier Coates, Will Warbrick, Tyron Wishart, and Jerome Hughes for the Broncos. Dean Mariner, Ezra Mam with 2. Jesse Arthurs and Big Ben Takura. He's massive, isn't he?
Yeah. And I'm sure Paul's going to have NRL Fantasy Watch on standby to show what kind of how unprofessional we are. For me, the storm erupting in the final 10 minutes is kind of becoming a trademark of this side this year. Some big efforts from their pack kept them in the hunt, especially with their discipline letting them down at times. The late try to the Broncos could have killed their confidence, but they held firm and secured a valuable win. What's your thoughts on the Storm?
Another heart-stopping win against one of the top sides for them. Their wins against the Warriors and now Broncos at the end of games, these could be two games we look back on at the end of the year as very important results should they end up securing home advantage come finals time, which a lot of the time they do. So, some defensive lapses, but some pretty slick attack as well. Some featuring Eli Katoa, like Jacko's pointed out. He's looking really good, not just a couple of tries, but some nice soft hands for one of Warbrick's tries as well. So, yeah, really nice.
And Paul, you're popping up for stats, I assume?
Yeah, because, I mean, the Storm led are sort of on all runs, all run meters, most contact meters, line breaks, tackle breaks, average set distance, kick return meters, average play, ball speed. And they led every stat pretty much in this game, and yet it's still a two-point game. The only stat they didn't win was like kick meters and kick defusal. Otherwise, every single stat is on their side, and also and one interception. So were they just not clinical enough? Because, I mean, they led all the stats.
I don't know. The Storm are a good team, but so are the Broncos. I don't know. The stats don't always give you the answers. There's been many a game where the team that came out winning and sometimes winning comfortably were behind on the stats. It's a weird game. Thoughts?
It's really this one side across all the stats is what I mean. That's true. There's only like three stats that the Broncos did well in. Everything else was against them. But anyway, yeah, I mean, clearly, I guess that shows a bit of the character as well.
Yeah. You talked about the Broncos already?
No, I talked about the Storm. Do you want me to talk about the Broncos?
Can you please?
I think they'll take plenty from this loss. Obviously, no Walsh, no Haas, lost Reynolds before half time. And despite all that, they still took the Storm to the limit in Melbourne. So there's something to say about that. I think, obviously, it's a loss and they didn't get the 2 points, but I think they should hold their heads high and still be encouraged. Once I think Walsh is named to come back this week, once they get their full squad of players, they'll be one to look out for, I think.
Yeah, I thought they started well, and I thought their attack looked crisp. I felt they kind of went into their shell a little bit in the second half. But they attempted that last-minute comeback with a few minutes to spare. But they kind of blew their chance. You know, they had that awesome try from BTK. Then I think – I can't remember who it was that kicked it. Might have been Mam. Their final kick when they really needed a try to end the game, and he kicked it miles into the in goal, just gave the game away. It was kind of a real letdown attacking play to like kind of end their shot. Just a poor last tackle option, a lack of polish, which you kind of expect, as you say, without Walsh. Some poor defense cost them in the end as well, I think. Your player to stand out.
I've not gone the way of the fantasy points. I went Jerome Hughes, and I think Jerome Hughes has been really good to start the year. He looked deadly against us. He looked deadly again this week. He's in some pretty nice form.
Yeah, and there's a lot of comments about Alesi Katoa led the fantasy points, and a lot of people talking about him. He's who I went with because I'm apparently a shell for NRL fantasy. I thought he was fantastic in this game.
He was. Yeah.
You know, we kind of talked about it when he left the Warriors. We were very upset that he was going, but we also saw the potential he would get leaving and going to a place like the Storm, which you're kind of seeing now. He's kind of really growing. Would he be that player with us? Potentially. But
I would love to have seen him under Webby in this current
season. Yeah. That's true, but then I think, like Mark Roberts has said, if we kept Katoa, would we have, you know, Kirk Capewell, Laban, Lekker, Dimitrik? I think you'd still have the young guys. Capewell, I definitely think you wouldn't see. You know, because there'd be no need. Potentially Jackson Ford would never have been signed, and he's done so well. So, you know, it'd be great to have him. You can't keep them all, and I think it's for the greater good that some players leave and get to be better elsewhere.
100%.
So as much as I love him, I'm more happy to see his career grow elsewhere than if he was stuck here. He was kind of, his career was almost derailed by Nathan Brown, basically. So, you know, sucks to see him go, but it's great to see him performing well. I'm more than happy. I'm not sitting here going, as a Warriors fan, man, and I wish Katoa was still here. I think the players that have replaced him are doing a great job. So I'm happy. Moving on to the first game on Friday, the car crash game of the round. Bulldogs defeating the Roosters 30-26.
Was it ever? Five tries apiece for the Doggies. Blake Taff, Matt Burton with three, and Sam Hughes for the Roosters. Egan Butcher with two. Joey Manu, White and Tupou with the try scorers.
Bulldogs dominated the first half of this car crash, as I've already said. I've imagined terrible conditions. But they looked a different team in the second half with things not really clicking. The injuries and weather didn't help in that aspect. But they were playing against 12 and then 11 men at some point. So I think if I was a Bulldogs fan, I would have wanted to see them be a bit more cutthroat. But credit where credit's due. This was a big scalp for them to get, especially with the, you know, some of their talented players ruled out of this game through thuggery or injuries. Your take on the Doggies?
Yeah. I mean, the game itself was a very odd game. The Doggies came out flying, looking like world beaters in the first half. Some of those ex-Panthers boys looking untouchable. Somehow all that magic disappeared in the second half, and the Dogs almost managed to lose after being up 26-0 at halftime.
Yeah, and your thoughts on the Roosters?
It's a weird one. Somehow the more players the Roosters seem to lose, either through concussion, injury, the Dom Young send-off, Radley was sin-binned, the better they got. It's a really gutsy effort to come back in the face of all that adversity, but their start was inexcusable. So I think when you take that into consideration, I think they deserve the loss.
Yeah, their disciplinary errors almost had this game over at halftime. You know, at 26-0, I think you could have just turned it off and gone, okay, it's done. But yeah, they showed fight to make a game of it in that second half. I think if they'd shown a bit of that intensity, intensity is probably not the right word when you think of what Dom Young and that did. But if they showed a bit more of that fight in the first half, I think they would have got this win. But the NRL's not a world of coulda, woulda, shoulda. And yeah, like Paul's brought up the errors. There was so many errors here. The weather, I think, gives you a little bit of an excuse, but like Paul will be able to know, it was worse than the weather the Warriors had against the Rabbits last year when Paul cost us that much needed win. but you saw that. The Rabbits didn't make a lot of errors in that.
Right? Both teams are playing with the same conditions. That's Roosters did more than double the errors that the Bulldogs did. And we're not talking like you're playing your Panthers or your top team when you're playing Bulldogs either.
Yeah, and I think Bjorn's actually mentioned, I was going to mention it for my Roosters thing. Victor got sin-binned and the NRL came out, I forgot to mention the news, the NRL came out and said that was the wrong decision. That, if you're looking at that as like Trent Robinson and that and go, that 10 minutes without Victor could have been the difference for us actually coming in and winning. You can't go back on it. It was a big call that they got wrong.
He got and that
ref didn't get dropped. Yeah, he got Simbin on reputation.
That was a shocking call.
Yeah, but I'm not a Roosters fan, so I don't care. but yeah, Jacob said Chookies have no long kicking game. They'll struggle this year. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they go this week. With no Sam Walker, no Teddy. It's unfortunate for them, but credit to them for that fight back. Your player to stand out. I don't know if Paul brought up who the fantasy leader was.
Purely for his first half alone, Viliami Kikau was amazing. I think you could have stopped the game at halftime and his run stats, I don't know what they were, but they were probably enough for a full game because the line breaks he was making and tackles he was busting. Poor Teddy probably won't remember what happened. Probably wouldn't want to because he got steamrolled. Kikau, a lot of what they did well in the first half was giving him early ball and making breaks down that edge.
Yeah, he was fantastic. And Paul has said Matt Burden led the fantasy points and line breaks. Probably why I picked him. I'm 2 from 2 with fantasy guys. I went with Burden. You know, yeah, he led with line breaks. He had a hat trick. Only missed one conversion in those horrible conditions. I thought it was a really good game from him. He had to do a bit, I think. Don't quote me on it, because I thought I was paying attention, but maybe I wasn't. I think he had to move into the centres, didn't he, in this game? I think he moved out of the halves with some injuries.
Yeah.
For a little while, yeah. but he looked really good when he was out there, almost like he shouldn't be a half. So I thought it was a fantastic game from him as well. So we'll move on to the final game on Friday. The Knights doing what we all expected, defeating the Dragons 30-10.
Conditions probably even worse in this one. 5-2 for the Knights. Jackson Hastings, Inari Tuala, Daniel Saifiti, Dylan Lucas, and Caelan Ponga. For the Dragons, Zach Lomax and Ben Hunt offer Zach Lomax flick and field, which you have to see to believe. It was a nice bit of play.
Yeah, okay. Before, this is completely off topic, but before, I'm looking at my notes, and I've been writing for years. I said they've had the game won by halftime. I've spout won O-N-E. You would see that because I gave you the same notes.
Yeah, I can see.
late night. Sorry, completely off topic. But yeah, another horrible weather game. But the Knights were just too strong here. They had the game won W-O-N by halftime. And refused to let the Dragons back into the contest. I think the team's attack looked better with Hastings out there directing the play. A nice bounce-back performance for them after what happened to them in Auckland. But they still have a lot of work to do, obviously. But, yeah, I think with Jackson out there, it makes things a lot easier for them. Your take on the Knights?
Well, I thought it was a dominant win at home for the Knights. I think they played to the conditions far better than the Dragons. Like you said, I thought Hastings looked good in his return. In my opinion, showed why he was probably unlucky to be dropped in the first place. They had a tough start to the year, but maybe this is a good step in the right direction for them.
Yeah, and before I ask you about the Dragons, Simon said no one's perfect. We all make mistakes. Yeah, I had to own this one, though, because I ripped Richard live last week for getting Tristan Saylor's name wrong, which he did go back and listen to and confirm that he did call him Tristan Taylor. It's a tough one to say. Yeah. So if I'm going to give him crap for it, I'm going to own something that none of you can see, that I made a mistake. So yeah, your thoughts on the Dragons?
They had a nice period in the game where they scored back-to-back tries. One being that Ben Hunt try I mentioned was a really good try. But way too many errors in the conditions was their undoing, and probably to the amusement of Brad. We've been giving him a bit of crap every time the Dragons are doing well. So
it cuts into my soul every time they cross that white line and score a try. They made a lot of errors here. I think I've got them down for 18 errors. But in this weather, both sides did. I don't have the Knights' errors, Paul. If you can see if it's a bit closer rather than one-sided like the last game.
At 12-18, as I've got on the screen.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not even looking. So it's a bit closer.
And we missed Dragon Slay Knights as our show title as well.
Yeah, I think I've used Warriors Slay Dragons in one of my reviews before. In this weather, both sides did, as Paul clearly showed us there. I don't know what went wrong with the Dragons here. Their forwards were getting meters. If you look at the stats, the forwards did a lot of heavy lifting, but they just couldn't convert it into scoring opportunities. They kind of just lacked that spark, which, you know, to their credit this year, they've kind of shown that attacking spark already. So I don't know if it was a bad night at the office, they don't like playing the wet, or they just suck. I don't know. Fantastic effort from the Knights. Your player to stand out, as Paul's quickly scrambling to find out which player I've picked by going with the leader.
Well, I don't want to go Ponga because I'm still a hater of the undeserved Dally M. I went Hastings. I thought he made a big difference in the wet, controlled the game really well. And yeah.
Hastings feels like an NRL fantasy leader, I feel. But yeah, he was great out there. As I already said, he made their attack look a lot better. I went with Dylan Lucas. Damn it. Okay.
The formula. Okay. Works.
Three from three. I thought Dylan Lucas looked really good out there. Clearly so did the NRL fantasy. He got a nice try. He's been doing a lot of the heavy work as well. Thought it was fantastic for a young player like him to step up, especially in these conditions. Mm. Let's see if I go four from I think I will go four from four in fantasy leaders. Next game, Warriors defeating Rabbits 34-4.
Yeah, great game, obviously.
Oh, no, spoiler. I know who got the most points because he's in my fantasy team. I did not pick it.
You didn't pick him.
I didn't pick it this time.
Yeah. Six tries to one here for the Warriors. Rocco Berry, Jackson Ford, Sean Johnson with two, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck and Tumaire Martin. Just the one try for the Rabbitohs, Isaac Tuitupo-Thompson.
Yeah, the most, you already mentioned it in our intro, the most dominant display we've seen from the Warriors this year, and with some key figures out, it was an impressive statement, I thought. The forwards were busy all night. I think I said in my review, Jacob Laban and Bunty Afoa were the only players in the forward pack that didn't crack 100 metres, not including Egan as a hooker, but he got 91, I think. They were busy all night. Egan took over this match and the spine altogether for the first time. If you're team TMM, they just worked so well together here. CNK coming in, kind of was that missing link in the attack we've kind of been asking for. And it was just too much for the Rabbits to handle. Exciting to see, where the Warriors or that the Warriors are building each week. And they look like a really hard team to beat at the moment, especially when you think this week Dallin's back, Kirk Capewell's back, those types of players coming into the squad. Yeah, really exciting times. But your take on the Warriors?
Yeah, I thought defensively we looked a bit dicey early. A couple of moments where we jammed were probably unnecessarily and obviously conceded the opening try down one of our edges. Once we managed to shore that up and got going, we looked very dominant. I thought most of the team stood up. One defensive miss aside, I thought Chans was great on return and showed why he's our fullback and the difference he makes to our attack in particular. The halves were fantastic, as you said, and I think Egan looks every bit a rep level player right now. Whether or not he becomes one, I'd rather he didn't. Unless it's going to be in a black jersey, but yeah, I think he's deserving of it the way he's playing.
Yeah, your thoughts on the Rabbits?
I think the Rabbitohs are playing so far below their capability. They look like a team not playing for each other or their coach. They're making bucket loads of errors, and their best players resorting to their supposed best players resorting to grub axe instead of playing league. But yeah, none of the signs coming out of the Rabbitohs are very good right now, and if you believe the media, there might be due a shake-up sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and there's a comment from Jacko saying, great win, but the Rabbits only played for 30 minutes. After that, they'll crap. That's kind of what I've got. The Rabbits started well, troubling the Warriors' right edge, as you mentioned, but after that, it just fell apart. They couldn't complete sets. Latrell brain snaps just piled the pressure on themselves, which they couldn't fight out of. Just another embarrassing performance of the side, and I don't see them bouncing back anytime soon. You look at their upcoming games. I think it's Sharks. I think they have the bye, and then it's like Roosters and Panthers, I think, or it might be Storm Panthers. It's something like that. It's like the next 3 or 4 weeks is really hard. Yeah. I wouldn't say really hard for the Rabbits that we kind of expected to show up, but the Rabbits that we have, that's, you know, I don't see any wins coming in the next, you know, 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And they were probably lucky to get that one last week. They could be sitting on no wins right now very easily. But yeah, I didn't put it in here, but like Latrell, I know everyone's talking about Latrell. It's Latrell, Latrell, Latrell. But watching the game, I was trying to watch him when he wasn't involved. And it's so cliche to call him lazy, but there's like moments in the game where everyone's trying to run into position. He's just walking like he's on a stroll and doesn't want to be there. I listened to a podcast earlier today from people that were actually at the game, and they kind of said the stuff you couldn't see on TV with him as well. He looked like he had no interest to even be there. And yeah, I don't know how they fix that. I suggested dropping him. He's been forced to be dropped. But yeah, I don't see them getting out of this hole. I think you can chalk it up and put the queue in the rack for them this year.
Yeah,
I think they're done. But yeah, I think we picked the same player this week for player to stand out, and we can confirm he is not the fantasy leader. But who'd you go with?
Wade Egan. Yeah, what can you say that hasn't already been said this week about his dummy half work? I've seen Sean Johnson's his first try, the one off the Egan trick play with CNK up the middle of the field. I've seen that broken down by many people many times this week.
Yeah.
I've watched that probably a couple of dozen times. I'll probably watch it a couple dozen more. Yeah, he's just producing magic right now.
Yeah, I went with Egan too. I covered it at length in my review on Monday, but yeah, he was just involved. Basically, all the tries, he played a part in getting those running. You know, Sean does what he does with that flat pass that's so deadly, but yeah, Wade was just picking and choosing his moments to run amok up the middle. The Rabbits, with as bad as they're playing, their market defense was nowhere near NRL level, which allowed Wade to do it. But just because they're playing bad doesn't mean your player is going to have the smarts to take advantage of it, which he did. So thoroughly. I got a bit of pushback because I said in my review, the only player I'm worried about not playing in the 17 is Wade Egan. I got some pushback about SJ, but I was like, I think if, as long as you got Egan there, you could, for a game or two, have like Chanel and Tamati if you had to. But if you're stuck, especially now if Freddie's out for like 8 weeks, you're potentially, if Egan's out, you've got Chanel or Roach as your hooker, and that worries me more than
Look at our two losses this year. Wade Egan went off half time against the Sharks. We lose in that second half, and he wasn't available against the Storm, and we lose that game.
Yeah. So yeah, fantastic game for him, and hopefully he stays healthy and keeps this kind of form going. So we'll move on to the second game on Saturday. A big upset in my eyes here. Seagulls defeating the Panthers 32-18.
Yeah, in a lot of people's eyes, Brad. 5-3. Tom Trbojevic, Tola Taukola, Dally Cherry Evans, Corey Waddell, and Jackson Polo were the try scorers. For the Panthers, Brad Schneider and Dylan Edwards times two.
Yeah, so Seagulls have been up and down this year, but they picked the right moment to shine with a massive performance against the reigning premiers. They still had a lot of errors in their game, but when they managed to get the passes to stick, they tore the Panthers' defense apart, which not a lot of teams can say they can do. If they can bring this level to every match, that they're going to be a very tough team to stop, which has me a bit worried this week. But I thought, yeah, it was a very thorough performance in a game they weren't really expected to win. Your thoughts on Manly?
Sometimes teams don't quite live up to the occasion when an important player has a milestone match. This time Manly stepped up big time for DCE, who became Manly's most capped. I didn't see them spring in an upset against the game's best team, but not only did they cause an upset, but they did in style as well. So, I thought Manly looked really good. Your former second flame of a team, Brad.
Yeah, it's taken me back to when I predicted them to go all the way a few years ago. But potentially, if they play like this, they could. Your thoughts on the Panthers?
Normally the Panthers cover really well if Cleary or other people aren't playing, and I think they did their best. Dylan Edwards definitely stepped up, but this was just Manly's night. I don't think anybody was stopping Manly on this night in front of a big home crowd. On a big occasion, they definitely weren't at their best, the Panthers. But if you know the Panthers over the past few years, that won't last. They'll probably bounce back and be amazing again next week.
Yeah, I thought this week the Panthers played more like a team missing their star halfback. which we're not usually used to seeing. They tried to stay in the fight, but they had 13 errors and 11 penalties, which made it just too big a mountain to climb. A rare misstep, I think, from the champion side, but you, as you just said, you know they're going to bounce back after their bye. They're just a team you can't rule out. Your player to stand out.
Yeah, to go with Cherry Evans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Yeah, I went with Cherry Evans as well, which Paul's probably going to jump up and say he was the fantasy leader. I'm not sure. He led the fantasy points, so I'm going good. I've only not picked one so far. But yeah, 5 from 5 conversions. He had a penalty, got a try, all in his, you know, his big game. Could have been a time, you just said, like, sometimes the teams don't deliver for those milestone games. Sometimes the player themselves doesn't. So to see him still do what he's been doing since he was a little teeny bopper. Paul said, did Brad watch any of these games other than the Warriors? Come on, Paul. That's a bit harsh.
Cherry Evans even got a try assist for the Panthers when he tried a little grubber and Edward scooped it up and went all the way.
Exactly. So he was helping both teams. fantastic outing for him. Congratulations on the record-breaking game as well. Hopefully they've used up all their luck before this week. We'll go to the final game on Saturday. Dolphins defeating the Tigers 26-16.
4-3 here for the Finns. Isaiah Katoa, Hamiso Tabuai-Fadou, Cody Nikarima, and Kenny Bromwich. For the Tigers, Solomona Fatape, he got 2, and Alex Seyfarth.
Yeah, solid outing for the Dolphins here. A few nice tries and a nice defensive structure saw them control the match from start to finish. The Dolphins continue to ride high, but I'm just waiting for the wheels to fall off. Perhaps this week without Hermie Farbworth out there. But I think it was a clinical, or as clinical as you could get from them. I see Paul's brought up the errors. They only made 5, which is a pretty good day at the office for NRL standard. Very impressive game. Normally you'd say, it was only the Tigers, but I think the Tigers are a different beast, which we'll talk about when we discuss them. But I thought it was a solid outing.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about clinical. They made a lot more line breaks than the Tigers, but they had less runs, less meters, less post-contact meters, less tackle breaks. So you say that shows you that when the opportunity was there, they took it, whereas the Tigers led all those things but just couldn't break the line.
Yeah, so, that's the kind of stats you look at where they made everything count when they needed it to, which is probably the more important thing you want. Your thoughts on the Finns? I see, Bjorn said he went to the game and Hammer gave his daughter a signed ball. That's cool. That's great. That's cool. Your thoughts on the Finns?
Yeah, I thought the Finns just keep getting the job done so far this year. I thought it was a good win. The Tigers showed they aren't quite the free 2 points that they have been the last couple of years. So for the Dolphins to come out and execute a lot of their plays as well as they did, like Paul said, it's a good outing and a good win for them.
Yeah, your thoughts on the Tigers?
Someone said something in the comments about Lachie Galvin. Yeah, I mean, my thoughts are I'd love to have seen this game if Api Korosau was at full fitness. He looked like he was nursing a bit of a leg injury, and if young Lachie Galvin were playing. But that's league for you. You're gonna have outs. I still saw a good fight in the Tigers. Caesar kicking a couple of 40-20s. It's nice to see them have a steady hand at halfback who can steer them around. To me, I still see an improved team this year.
Yeah, I thought they fought well, but lacked that spark that they had with Galvin. in the side the past few weeks. I think the comment was if Galvin played, you would probably tip them. If Galvin was playing, I would have picked them in this game. But yeah, I think they showed plenty of heart. There is a decent side in there, and I think it's safe to assume they're out of wooden spoon level now. I'm not saying anything like they're going to be finals contenders, but I think you can kind of rule them out. I think right now you've got the Rabbits and the Titans as your spoon favorites. And Simon said he might be wrong, but he thinks the Dolphins might actually finish in the top eight. They have every chance. I think Jacko mentioned it early. I think the injuries are going to hurt them. We're going to see them slide again where the injuries become too much. But I'd love to be proven wrong. I think if they can make the final series in their second year in the comp, it would be a great testament and be a great way for Wayne Bennett to go out of his tenure there. But, yeah, we've got to wait a few more weeks before we can start discussing that. Your player to stand out. I feel like I've probably gone fantasy again.
Yeah, probably.
No, I haven't. Okay, good. So, Stefano.
Oh, well, I went with the Dolphins leader. I went Isaiah Katoa. I feel like he played a very mature game. His kicking game was fantastic. He got a try. Yeah, I think he looks like he's coming on nicely and getting better and better.
Yeah, I thought he was fantastic. I went with the Hammer for the second week in a row, though. He was one of those guys that was contributing those line breaks. I think he led line breaks in this game, scored a nice try, and he's kind of getting back into the swing of that attacking threat he was known for. He kind of had a bit of a lull for a little brief period, but I think he's getting back into the swing of things. So I had to give it to him again. Thought, he's a fantastic attacking threat.
Oh, yeah.
First game on Sunday, Cowboys defeating the Titans 35-22.
So I was going to talk when you mentioned to the sign ball from Hammer, I thought Ruin Hammer. I was going to say, hang on.
Ruin Hammer one. There's two Hammers. Yeah. I don't know if you'd be as congratulatory if Mark Hammer gave you the sign ball. But yeah, Cowboys defeating the Titans.
I'd take a sign ball from Ruin Hammer.
Cowboys, Titans, 35-22.
Six tries to four for the Cowboys. Zach Labor, Murray Taulagi, Scott Drinkwater with two, Reese Robson and Kyle Felt. For the Titans, Brian Kelly, Jaden Campbell, Cleese Haas and Bo Furmore.
Yeah, Cowboys were consistent here, scored three tries each half, but they could have had many more if they'd sorted out their hands. Was a nice win, but I feel like some of the sheen off this has come off this side after their great start. Still a good side, but a side I could see sliding down the ladder a bit. Your thoughts on the Cowboys?
Another good score from the Cowboys in terms of their points, but their defense still a bit of a worry. They allowed the Titans an easy path back, and this is the Titans that have been struggling for points big time this year. Granted, two of the Titans' tries came with Townsend in the sin bin, but another nice win. Cowboys are still up, you know, up in the better end of the ladder, but if they're going to compete with the bigger teams, because they have played a lot of teams that aren't favoured to make the top eight as well.
Yeah,
they're going to need to sort their defence out. They have had a soft start, and the defense they've been showing won't cut it against the Penrith or Broncos.
Yeah, and your thoughts on the Titans?
The Titans' attack is at least trending the right way after not being able to buy points in the first couple of rounds. But I'm still seeing a team with bottom four, potentially wooden spoon level defense, though. And while they're still defending like that and conceding like they are, they probably are the wooden spoon favourite.
Yeah, I've got they continue the 2023 trend of being able to score points in this game but not being able to defend as if their life depended on it. They look like a team lacking confidence in the first half, which you would expect with how they've been going. They showed some spirit, I think, in the second half. But they're just a bad side right now, which is as simple as you can put it. I think Paul said they had 22 points this week and 40 in total for the season. So yeah, that's crazy. They finally learned how to put points on the board. They just got to learn how to defend. And Amanda said the leaked footage with Dez spraying the Titans was next level. Did you guys see it? Yeah, I saw some of it. Dez is having a rough time, which I think he would have been foolish not to expect when he took this gig on. But yeah, I don't see them improving. I know there's been some people coming out saying like they could be ending the year without a win. I think in the NRL, you know, you snag a win here or there. You know how the Tigers even beat the Panthers last year, which I say every chance I get. So I think they'll get a win or two.
Somewhere.
Yeah. As Paul said, they're still the only team without a win, but yeah, they'll get one. It's just the nature of the beast. They might only get one or two though. At best.
It's against the Dragons.
They'll beat the Dragons. Easy.
what did you make of Townsend's hip drop on Jaden Campbell?
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't good. I think it was a proper one. It felt like it was the definition that we've been explained of a hip drop. So as soon as you saw it, it was like, no, I don't think it was on purpose by any stretch of the imagination, but it was the definition. So as you can see, he got Simbin, but he didn't get suspended. So I think he had the right punishment, 10 in the bin, and that's it. Just leave it there.
Agreed.
Your player to stand out, I think we picked the same guy, and knowing our luck, he's the NRL fantasy leader.
Yeah, again, like the Manly game with DC, this one seemed obvious. Drinkwater.
Scotty. Drinkwater. I think he led with 3 line breaks as well.
Couple of tries.
Had a double. He led the fantasy points.
And he did the fantasy.
Yeah. But yeah, he had a great game. He's always one of their under the radar attacking threats. He's one of their better players, but you've always got like Valentine and all that out there kind of hogging the spotlight a bit. But yeah, thought he was fantastic in this game. Which leads us to the last game, which Simon's been waiting for us to talk about. The Raiders defeating the Eels 41-8.
Yeah, why not? That was a big performance from your team, Simon. 7 tries to 2. Sebastian Chris, Xavier Savage, Matt Timoko with 2. Danny Levy, James Schiller, and Hudson Young. For the Eels, Mike Acevo grabbed the only 2 tries.
Yeah, fantastic performance from the Raiders here. They were almost attacking at will with some big efforts from Savage, Timoko, and Schiller. Didn't have to defend much, but to hold the Eels to 2 tries is a good night at the office. Many, including myself, doubted the Raiders this season, but I think they could surprise all of us with how they've been going. And your thoughts on the Raiders?
Yeah, I know they were playing against the Eels without Moses. I don't think Moses would have made much of a difference here because it was just a great performance from the Raiders. You got to give credit where due. I think they were seriously underestimated by most, including myself, and like you said, yourself as well, Brad. They've always had a great pack, but I think Danny Levy's playing at a level I didn't think he had left in him. And some of the young backs, Timoko, Ethan Strange, Xavier Savage, they're playing with real X factor, which is making them a real tough team to beat so far this year.
A bit of a shame with
Jordan Rapana getting injured. That hopefully that doesn't hurt their chances, but yeah, they're playing really well.
Yeah, and your thoughts on the Eels?
Yes, another disappointing result for them. That underlines the importance of Mitch Moses to this team. They just were never in this contest and were completely outclassed from start to finish. How about you? What do you think about them?
Yeah, I've just got that they were very poor. Despite scoring all their tries, I thought Sivo had a shocker of a night. They just looked like a side that wasn't on the same page. Doesn't help the flat track bully isn't out there leading the way for them that he does so well. The defense looked like they just weren't trusting the man on either side of them, which resulted in the Raiders just ripping them apart. There's just ongoing, I think it's what we've said a lot, an ongoing lack of consistency with the Eels performances, and you just don't know what side's going to show up.
Yeah.
And your player, okay, so Paul has said that Matt Timoko led fantasy points. Who did you pick?
Yeah, I went Matt Timoko. It was hard to ignore a couple of tries. One of them really great. Put down with his palm in the face of Dylan Brown, I think it was, in the corner. Almost took me back to one of Dom Young's put downs last year where he was cartwheeling. Also set up a try, maybe more than one, and just line breaks. He's becoming a real complete center.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. He's really building there. I went with Xavier Savage. I was going to go with Timoko, and I was looking at my fantasy scores, and I saw how good he did. And it's like, I'm not picking Timoko.
So what happened with all your other picks?
I don't know.
Richie, that's a different.
I went with Xavier Savage. You know, his try was a scorcher of a try, and he's really finding his way again. You know, when he kind of got thrust into the limelight with CNK getting dropped to reserve grade because he was the next big thing, I think that pressure affected him in the wrong way for a bit. And he's really kind of making first grade his playground now again, which Raiders fans would be excited to do, because he's one of those guys that can be a real live wire attacker, like your Walshes, like your Jaden Campbells, those types of guys. He's kind of in that mold, just speed. So I went with him. But, yeah, you wouldn't be laughed at if you went for a lot of people. I know you talked about Danny Levi surprising you. I picked him from day one in my fantasy team because I knew he'd have a big one this year. So he's helping me out a lot.
I think he's he's joint leading try scorer for the Raiders. He's scoring nearly every week.
Yeah, so that was the round. If we can go to tips or ladder, whichever one Paul wants to pick first. So we're going with the tips. As I announced last week, I went with the Joker round, which has helped me. I've jumped up to third place with 5 out of 8 with my double, means I got 10. But ACT Hellcat, Andrew, is still leading the comp on 34 points. Shuddy FC is second on 32. I got 30. Simon, you're down at 5th on 25. Richie is at 6th, tied with you. And since I know Bjorn's still watching, he is currently 11th. He got 5 this week as well. So still a real tight tussle. A few nicely placed joker rounds will make that move around, I'm sure. So if we want to move to the ladder, I think you did top 8 last week, didn't you?
Yeah, I believe so.
So it's mine. So still no change for the first place. Dolphins are at the top. Cowboys have gone up to 2nd. Melbourne have gone up to 3rd. Sharks have stayed where they were last week at 4th. Raiders have gone up to 5th. Warriors have gone to 6th. First time in the top 8 for the Warriors this year. Manly have gone up to 7th. And Penrith have dropped to 8th. And then I'll pass it on to you.
So from 9 onwards, we have the Tigers in 9th, Roosters 10th, Broncos 11th, Newcastle 12th, Bulldogs 13th, Parramatta 14th, St. George 15th, Gold Coast 16th, and the Bunnies in last place.
Yeah, so I'm a bit more comfortable with the ladder now, seeing us in the top 8.
Yeah.
So the little stat about the ladder is that the top 8 have either scored 3, have all got 3 wins, apart from the Cowboys with 4, everyone in the sort of 9 downwards have got 2 wins or less. So that 3 wins is the cutoff between the bottom 8 and the top 8 and the bottom 9.
Yeah,
I think I think had we not choked that game against the Storm, we'd be sitting first place on points difference right now.
We would, yeah. I think I saw that stat. And before we move into questions, I saw Bjorn has asked a question about the Joker rounds. I believe it's 3 Joker rounds we have, I think, is the setup. I'll double check later on, but I'm pretty sure it's 3 that you get. So we'll move into questions. I saw Paul's flagged a couple for us.
So yeah, but Bjorn's been
harassing you with questions.
So yeah, will the Warriors win the comp, or will you be married before turning 50? Well, as I'm 50 in May, I think neither of those are going to happen before then. So we can move on from that.
That might be a question for the rest of the group as well, though, Paul.
Oh, sorry, really? Okay.
So Richie's
already married, so it can't be for him. This is all for you.
He's not officially married.
Is he?
No.
Oh, wow.
I don't think it will ever happen, will it?
Wow, living in sin.
Yeah, I've been living in sin for years. I'm hoping the Warriors win the comp this year. It's as good a chance as we have. It's as good a chance as we've ever had, I reckon. And there you go. We're going to win the comp this year.
Yeah, I think we're going to win it this year. So definitely be before I'm married. And if anyone wants to pay for a wedding, I'll get married tomorrow. I can't afford a wedding, so I won't get married until I can afford it. But yeah, Bjorn, if you're offering to pay, I'll get married tomorrow. I'll do it.
So Panthers clearly, with being sort of on the bounce, two-time winners, been sort of the favourites still, I guess, this year. Have the Storm become the your next favourites, or you know, you're still with the Broncos or with someone else at the moment?
The Storm have a very good chance. Obviously, they're right up there. But I feel like we didn't fire all of our best shots in our game against them, and we probably should have beaten them. I think come business end, I think Panthers or us or Broncos might. I rate those three teams higher.
Yeah, at the moment, I think we're the biggest favourite besides them based on form. We should have, if we had held our nerve, we could have beaten the Storm. We were gun shy in that Sharks game. We could be sitting 5-0 right now. But if there's four teams right now that could win it, I've got Panthers, Warriors, Broncos. Broncos, Manly, Warriors, Storm, and Panthers. Those are the guys. Storm, you never write off. Same as the Panthers. You never go, Panthers are done. You can never write them off. And I think Broncos are kind of in that same boat. Without Walsh and that, they've been good enough. You know, when they get their players back, they'll be at another level. And Manly and Warriors, I think, have been the teams that have shown, you know, they can literally beat anyone on their day right now. So they're in the running too. You know, Dolphins are number one right now. Round 11 last year, Rabbitohs were top of the world. And look what happened at the end. It's real early, but yeah, you'd never rule out the Storm. You just can't.
Are we being harsh on the Cowboys here? I mean, they've beaten the Dolphins. They only seem to beat the Dolphins, who are top of the table. And their only loss so far has been to the Broncos. So, I mean, are you being a bit... A little bit harsh on the Cowboys, not mentioning them in this conversation.
No, I think their test was the Broncos, and the Broncos were missing troops and belted them.
Yeah, I think it's the way they lost to the Broncos, and that's every other game they've played were like bottom nine teams. Where you look at like Manly just beat the Panthers, Warriors have beaten some good sides and just lost to Melbourne. In a couple of weeks, a magic round when the Warriors play the Panthers. If they get towed by the Panthers, it'll be the same. I'd be like, well, there's clearly a big gap there. But at the moment, yeah. So the Cowboys could surprise, but I think they're big time to stamp their mark on the comp. Came and went. If they had lost to the Broncos by like two tries, it might have been a different story. But yeah, this is all stuff we've recorded that will make us look like idiots later on.
Yeah, Bjorn's coming early here with Origin chat about will Queensland have a spot for Ponga? I mean, yeah, this is really early for Origin chat, as we've been talking about early early for other stuff.
It fits nicely with my question to Richie, actually. I saw an interview with Ponga where he said he'll play anywhere Billy wants him to. He's not, you know, just saying I'm a fullback, because he knows he ain't getting that fullback spot. Walsh will have that. I could see a place where he has a spot, but I don't know how you would use him. I think you're kind of wasting him if you have him like as a 14 to come on and add spark. I don't think he's that kind of player. I feel like for him it is fullback or nothing. You're definitely not throwing him in the halves. He's not a center and he's not a winger. I think you'll see him involved maybe in the camp at some point, but I think on your game day 17, I don't see him there. But
you said exactly what I was going to say, Brad. I think he's a fullback or nothing. He showed last year when the Knights experimented with him in the halves, he just wasn't as effective. And I don't see him picking up that number one jersey over Walsh.
Yeah. Any more questions from the crowd?
So, yes, so which team so far this year has surprised you the most? We'll go with, is this good or bad? But, the team that's underperformed or surprised you on the downside the most first, Brad?
Underperformed for me is Rabbits. I think I had them in my top eight in my predictions. I might be wrong. I might have had them just out. But,
Richie, you're surprised you on the downside?
Yeah, it has to be Rabbitohs. They've been terrible.
On the upside then, Richie, who's the which team has surprised you so far on the upside?
I think the Raiders have really pleasantly surprised me. I tip them as a bottom four team, and they're well exceeding that at the moment. So, and they're really good to watch as well. So,
honestly, I pick Rabbits as well. Rabbits, Raiders. Sorry, ours are confusing me. It's getting late. You know, daylight savings kills us.
With a 47-point points differential in their favour, they have got the strongest points differential out of any team so far. So their losses have been relatively close, and their wins have been pretty decent. So I guess from that point of view as well.
Which is a vast difference from last year, when you remember they were in the top eight for finals with a negative points differential.
Yeah, every game was a dogfight.
Yeah. And Jacko said Ponga came off the bench for Queensland a few years ago and was fantastic. Likely he'll be 14. That was years ago. Come on, stop living in the past, man.
they may pick him as a 14, and I'm sure he'd do a job, but they've gone with Ben Hunt in that position the past few series, and he's done really well.
Yeah, I think Ben Hunt's still going to be the 14 myself. But it's Queensland. Come on, they could pick me in their team and they're still going to win the series. our questions for each other. I skipped it. I'll go with my one first, since we talked about Origin already, mate. So you're the New South Wales fanboy on the show, and there's been a bit of noise around Wade Egan potentially being a selection chance. What do you think? Would you, if you're a selector, pick Egan in your New South Wales team?
If I were a selector, absolutely I'd pick him. The disclaimer there being I'm extremely Warriors biased. Do I think New South Wales will pick him? Each week that goes by, I'm starting to, my opinion's starting to change. I initially thought, no, I don't think they'll pick him. I think they'd run with someone like Api Kotosau, who's playing really well, and then maybe someone a little in a different mold to that, maybe like a Reece Robson. Because I think maybe Api and Wade are a little similar, and crafty, great around the ruck, but Egan's form's starting to get pretty undeniable. So yes, I would pick him at this stage. I don't think New South Wales would pick him.
So just to throw in there the who they picked last year in their squad, Damian Cook, Apisai Karaoso Usi, and Reece Robson, sorry, were the three hookers in the squad last year.
I think Coruscant and Robson are, like Jacko said, they will Uppy will be starting with Robson back up. If there's injuries, if a Robson or an Uppy goes out, I think he is in the conversation. I think Cook is, you know, Cook's been dropped this week. I don't think he will get a selection. It's a new coach, you know, it's Madge. So I don't think Madge is going to have that same familiarity going, like, these boys were with me when I was in New South Wales camp, so I'm going to back them. It's a whole new start. If there's injuries, I think he's in there. But, yeah, I think everyone stays fit. It'll be Oppy and Robson. But it's great to hear people talking about him, especially with how negative people have been on him in his career. He's winning fans over. So, yeah, it's great to have him in the conversation. But I want him to be playing for the Warriors anyway. So,
yeah,
I'm sticking with that. Your question for me.
Okay, my question for you, Brad. We've seen our depth tested and passed with flying colours so far this year. Do you still think that the loss of AFB... Do you think the loss of AFB might not be as bad for our squad as we first thought, given how well our depth has held up? As the front row expert right now, how would you be approaching filling that hole next year?
So if we lose him to injury or something this year, I am still concerned. Not as concerned as I was last year. I think Mitch Barnett's really growing into being a contributor up front. So I think you can, it will help for next year. I think I talked to you and Ruan Hammer during the week when it was announced Murata was injured again. Murata is my fill-in for AFB next year right now because of the talent that's out there to try to bring in. I don't think it's good enough, and I was putting Murata as my guy to plug that hole. Won't do the same job because no one can. But his injuries, you know, he apparently, from what I heard, he either stood on someone's foot or someone stood on his, and now he's out for another 8 weeks. You know, that's a bit soft in my eyes. Please don't hear that, Murata, because I know you'd kill me. But, yeah, putting my big boy pants on, this is the guy that drove 6-7 hours with a broken ankle a few months ago. So
he misses a lot of games, doesn't he?
He does miss a lot of games. So that is my concern, that he's the guy kind of to fill that hole, and we can't guarantee that he's going to be there week in, week out. I want to see Zion. We'll talk about it soon with the team namings. Perhaps we see Zion this week. There's a chance, because I need to see those young guys in first grade before they throw in the deep end next year. But if someone pops up a big name from another club that they can latch on, I'd like to potentially have a look. Francis Molos was rumoured. That's not happening. On the fence with that. I don't think Francis Molo, I don't think, is a player they needed, but Webby seems to turn mediocre players into better players. But he's off the table. Jacko said Ali's come on well. Yeah, I think Ali's been fantastic. I'm a big fan of him. I felt like he lost his way last year with the week in, week out footy. He kind of fell off the wagon, but you know, he's been churning out the meters in limited minutes. I've been screaming for him to get more minutes. Webby's obviously either listening or has been reading the DMs I keep sending him saying, give Ali more minutes. So, yeah, with more minutes, he's been delivering more. And I know a lot of people are falling off the love for Bunty. Bunty does a different role. I think he's doing well with what he's been tasked, but he isn't an AFB replacement. So, yeah, it's all going to – I think everything's going to lean on the shoulders of Barney and Murata, if Murata can stay healthy. So I'm not as confident yet. Hopefully we see Murata come back from this injury fitter and show me the what I hoped we would see. What about you? You stupid half. What would you do?
Yeah, obviously it's still going to be a big loss, but I from what I've seen, the evidence I've seen under Andrew Webster, I think we're a lot better at covering things like this. That said, I think I don't see anyone outside of our squad that I'd go and waste money on bringing
somebody in. That you could legitimately get, yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly. And I think we're in a good enough position to promote from within and bring on young talent like Zion. I would love to see him get at least a couple of games this year and start blooding him in slowly. But yeah, I think we're in a good enough position to promote from within and still maintain our good standards with that we've developed.
We were about to talk about it, but I think he's going to be called into the 17 this week. We'll discuss it now, though. We'll move on to the round. So we'll bring up the Warriors-Eagles game. They're playing on Saturday at 5 in New Zealand. The Warriors team, mate, if you want to read it out for us.
You bet. Chance Nickel-Klustad, number one. Dallin Watinis-Lesniak, Marcelo Montoya, wingers. Centre pairing, Rocco Berry, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Halves pairing, Tamaide Martin, Sean Johnson. Forward pack is Adam Fanua-Blake, Wade Egan, Mitch Barnett, Jackson Ford, Kurt Capewell returns, Tohu Harris, lock and captain. Interchange bench as it stands right now, Chanel Harris, Tavita, Tom Ale, Jazz Tavanga, Jacob Laban, who I thought was really good on debut.
Yeah, he was. We didn't mention that. He was fantastic. The only reason I'm saying Zion's coming in, maybe, is maybe Zion comes in for Jacob or Jazz, depending on what they're going to do, because Ford and Capewell are A-minute players.
Yeah.
If one of them had to go down, Barnett can move to the edge, but then you're missing a forward, a front rower, so that's where Zion could come in. Jacko said he doubts Zion will get a run as Jazz is needed to combat Nathan Brown's aggression. I think Zion's the most aggressive one we've got, judging by he's our only send-off so far this year. But yeah, I'm just playing devil's advocate on, do we need a second rower on the bench? I'm not saying that's what I want. I think Jacob did more than enough to deserve to stay there. I'm just seeing, like, is it better for Jacob if he's on the 17 and not get any minutes? Because you're not going to throw him into the front row.
No.
You could. He's a big unit, but...
He seems like an out-and-out edge back rower, right?
Yeah. But yeah, if there is one change, that's the one I'd see. But yeah, it might stay. But who knows? God, there were so many changes last week after our show. So I'm very happy with that lineup. I think it's great. We're finally going to get to see Roger at centre when CNK's out there as well, to see what potentially CNK can do to get Roger into scoring situations. Really looking forward to it.
What's the news? What have you heard about Dylan Walker? Because I feel like we're missing him a bit.
I don't know what's wrong with him.
He's been named on the bench a couple of times. He's been named this week.
I thought we'd see him back this week, but I don't know. I guess it seems to be a real niggly injury. I'm not sure. Manly's team. We got Tommy Turbo at fullback. Then we got the other Tommy, Tommy Talau and Jackson Bolo on the wings. Kula and Ben Trbojevic in the centres. Luke Brooks and DCE in the halves. Taniela Paseka, Lachlan Croker and Josh Aloye at the front. Himoli Olakuatu and Corey Waddell in the second row, and Jack Trbojevic at 13. Then the bench, we've got Carl Lawton, Ethan Bullimore, Tosh Sipley, and Nathan Brown. I think it's a very good side as well. Aaron Woods, I still can't. I thought he had retired. I forgot he was still playing. I see him in commentary and stuff all the time, so I don't know what he actually does. But, I think that 1-17 will stay as is. Very strong team. Who you got?
I'm backing the boys at home.
Yeah, me too.
I think it'll be tight.
I think I picked them by 12 in my review. I think it'll be a good game. They are a good team, though. They are a team that it wouldn't surprise me if they came and spoiled the party. I think the boys have got enough to get the job done here. So we'll go to the rest of the round. We got so we'll go through Thursday night. We've got Knights Roosters. I've gone with the Knights. I think the Roosters have got too many outs. I think without Walker, without Teddy, and playing in Newcastle, I think Newey have to get the job done.
Yep, same here, same reasons.
Friday we've got Storm Bulldogs. I've gone with Storm, playing at home. Bulldogs have got a few outs as well, and Storm, I would have picked them even if the Bulldogs were fully fit.
Same here, same reasons.
Broncos, Dolphins. Big test for the Dolphins here, but I've gone with the Broncos.
To the point, the Storm are the shortest odds all week, all weekend, out of any of the games.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But yeah, yeah, I've gone Broncos. Yeah, I think they'll be too strong for the poor old Dolphins.
Yeah, me too. I'd love to see the Dolphins win that one, but.
Oh, it'd be great.
Yeah, but I'm tipping Broncos.
I was wondering, you guys give the Broncos too much credit here, because they've given up 118 points this season. The only, they're in 11th place, right? The only team above them that have given up more points are the Cowboys at 122. So the Broncos really, really haven't been defensively very good this year.
We'll find out Friday night, I guess.
You love these stats, Paul. I don't know what to tell you. I've got two words for you, Reece Walsh. The chosen one is back. So he's going to win the game. By himself, you watch, and we'll have to talk about it. Then we had Warriors Eagles first game on Saturday. We both picked Warriors. Next game on Saturday is Eels Cowboys. I've gone with Cowboys. It hurts me every time, because every time I pick against the Eels, they bloody win, and every time I pick them, they lose. So, but I think Cowboys will have to get this job done. I think the Eels. It's the right time for them to get the Eels, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a big multi this week. I've gone Cowboys. The Eels look a shell of themselves without Mitch Moses.
Yeah. Next game is Rabbits Sharks. I've gone Sharks. You'd be a very brave man to pick the Rabbits right now. So, yeah, I'm going Sharks all the way.
I am a brave man, but not that brave. Yeah, Sharks.
Geez, another one we're agreeing on.
The fact that the Rabbits are the second longest odds at $3.20 this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, longer than even than the Titans or the Dragons by a long way. So, yeah, it's not something you'd think pre-season.
Yeah, well, they no Latrell. They've dropped Cook. I don't see how they're going to work. But first game on Sunday, Tigers-Dragons. I've gone with the Tigers. I know they don't have Galvin, but it's the Dragons, so I don't pick them.
I've gone Tigers. I think.
Oh, jeez. I thought this is one we wouldn't agree on.
Well, I think this is a toss of the coin game, but I went with home ground advantage.
Yeah, I think I could sit here and I could argue why the Tigers would win and why the Dragons would win and be convinced either way. I think it is going to be tight, but.
This is the closest game all weekend.
Yeah.
So maybe not for quality purposes, but for edgier seat, this might be the one not to miss.
This will have to be a game we might actually have to watch, Richie, instead of just going on NRLFantasy.com. I'm trying. Is it at Leichhardt? It's not, is it? It's Campbelltown.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if it was Leichhardt, definitely. But yeah, and Simon said, definitely Tigers, no way Dragons. Yeah. Going Tigers. Then the last game, Raiders, Titans. I've gone Raiders. Yeah. There's no way he can pick the Titans right now. And it's in Canberra.
Raiders are playing really well.
So I think, did we agree on every game?
Yeah, we did.
So Paul has got an 8-game multi that will be broken on Thursday, no doubt.
So you've not only agreed on every game, but you've gone with the favourites in every single game.
That's perfect.
The multi $37.51 return on $2 put down there across those 8 games. I'm just burning money here, aren't I? Let's be honest.
Yeah, I haven't got a multi this year yet. We haven't done a Brad's failed bets. I lost on the Warriors last week because I picked them to win 12 and under because the week before I said 13 plus and got that wrong. So they keep going. But I did put money on Roger to score a try as soon as I heard he was on the wing, and that made up for losing money on the points margin one. But if we're all agreeing on the multi and it's all favourites, I might put one on it. And yeah, Simon said it's a volatile competition, really not advisable to bet on it. My girlfriend tells me that every week when I tell her what bets I have on.
You tell her
bets. Well, when we're sitting at the game, like last week, it was when Rocco went over for that first try that got taken away. I was the only one who cheered because I had Adam as my first try scorer. So I needed Adam to score it.
Oh, Brad.
It would have been a lot of money, mate. So that's it for the NRL. I know I'm dragging on there. So Jacko can quickly run off and join Rowan Hammer, who I think have already probably started. And we'll quickly go through Super League, which I still can't watch. They keep trying to get me to pay money to watch them at horrible hours. But Catalans have taken the lead outright after beating St. Helens in the last round, with Warrington second, Wigan third, Hull KR fourth, and St. Helens have fallen all the way to fifth. That's how tight it is at the moment. London still sit at the bottom as the only winless side, continuing the trend of promoted teams performing poorly. And I know Paul said no one cares about Super League. I know, but it's what we do. So round seven results. Wigan defeated Lee 40-12. Castleford defeated Salford 36-24. Warrington defeated Leeds 34-8. Hull KR defeated London 50-10. Huddersfield defeated Hull FC 56-22. And then Catalans defeated St. Helens 14-8. And yeah, Simon said New Zealand's the only rugby league nation with the Super League not on a proper broadcaster, only the Super League Plus streaming service. Yeah, and money's tight, like with me. I don't even pay for Sky. I steal my Sky off my father. Hopefully he never watches this anyway, so he wouldn't know. But that's how I watch the NRL.
But Sky do.
Skywatch. Well, I don't care. What are they going to do? I can't afford it. Make their prices more affordable. And I got Sky Sport now, and it kept buffering, so I stopped paying for that service because it was horrible. But round eight, we got Leeds versus Huddersfield, Wigan versus Castleford, St. Helens versus Hull FC, London versus Salford, Warrington versus Lee, and Catalans versus Hull KR. So a few good matchups in there, with fourth playing first. Wigan hopefully can get a good win against Castleford. Anything else you want to add before we let everyone go?
No, not really, mate. It's always great chat, everybody. I'm really happy this hotel room Wi-Fi held up quite nicely, so I was a bit worried there that I wasn't going to be able to have a convo with you guys, but yeah, cheers for the chat.
Yeah, and Simon's
your graphic game is come a long way this week.
So Simon's got some, says he has a good experience with Sky Sports. Now, I do with my new computer, but with my new older Macs, it does buffer. So yeah, you do have to have an up-to-date computer. It is a bit power. It is a bit resource hungry, unfortunately, for a browser. Which is a bit
yeah,
boring. Yeah.
I think the issue is because I Google Chromecast it to my TV, and that's when the issue is. So now my girlfriend hates it because she's not allowed to come to away games now because I watch, like we're doing right now. I have my cable plugged into my laptop, and I watch the games on my laptop sitting at my desk because then I don't get buffers. It's not a big deal, I guess, for the other games, but for the Warriors games where I put posts up at full time and I'm in a constant conversation with people, I can't be like 10 minutes behind. And yeah, Simon says he watches it on the app directly on TV. I don't have a smart TV because I'm poor, Simon.
What about your PlayStation? You can get the app on your PlayStation.
Can you get Sky Sport now on your PlayStation? But then I'm still sitting here at my desk because this is my gaming desk too.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I just plug my laptop straight into the TV, which is how I do it.
Yeah, I could probably do that. I didn't think of that. But, yeah, we do better when I watch away games alone for some reason. So we know how superstitious I am. So yeah, that's it. So if that's everything, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us tonight on the Standoff with Brad and Richie. For your weekly update on rugby league, tune in to the show next week, 8 p.m. on Wednesday, on Facebook, YouTube, or at your own convenience on iHeartRadio and Spotify, just from able to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. Cheers for joining me again, Richie, and cheers for all the work you're doing in the background, Paul. And good night, everyone.